Emor introduces the commandments for when and how to follow Shabbos and Yom Tov. Hashem speaks very strongly about this in Vayikra, Leviticus 23. It says, Ela Moadim Adonai Mikrae Kodesh Ashir Tikru B'Moadam. The following are God's appointed holy days, the designated holy occasions that you will designate to be in their appointed time. As Jewish people, we are all called to follow Hashem's word. Everything from the moral aspect to the physical to the spiritual law, we're all required to follow it. It's the reason why who we are, and it's what's kept us around during some of the most difficult times in history for our people. It's the commitment that Jewish men make on the eighth day, Bris. It may be obvious to some people in this room, but for me, it took 20 years to learn this. Let's time travel a bit. I was born in 2004 in Westmont, Illinois, which is a suburb of Chicago. I was born to a Jewish father and a non-Jewish mother. My father was not too active in the Jewish faith, but he still instilled me a very strong identity in being Jewish and having love for the culture. Every year, we used to go to my grandparents' house for Pesach, and he used to light the menorah with me every Hanukkah. My grandparents also had a very important role, being that they were active in their conservative synagogue and in their faith. As much as I could, I attempted to attend service with them. And on the weeks that I couldn't, I would live stream from my home. Being that I was not in a very Jewish area, I couldn't go to religious school, I couldn't get a bar mitzvah, and I couldn't get called up for an aliyah either, because my mother wasn't Jewish. In conservative Judaism, your mother has to be Jewish in order for you to be able to do these things. Unlike here, as long as one of your parents are Jewish, you're in the clear. But I became very proud to be a Jewish person, culturally. Now, if you asked me, Mark, do you believe in the one true God of Israel? If you asked me that at that time, I would have said, sure, I'm a Jew, of course I would. But not to put down any other form of mainstream Judaism, but I was never taught who Hashem was. So in my heart, I really didn't know. And I struggled with this all the time as a child. When I was 6 years old, I was unfortunately diagnosed with Asperger's syndrome. If you're not familiar with it, it means that I am on the spectrum of autism, but on the lower end. Essentially, I'm able to live independently. I don't need anybody to take care for me, even though my mother's an amazing cook. But as a child, mainly, I did have struggles. When I was diagnosed, we were told that I was going to have a difficult life, I was going to have trouble making friends, and I was going to require a lot of attention as a child. And they were absolutely right about that. I had everything. I had anxiety attacks, I had sensory sensitivities, I had problems making friends. And as I got older, it did get better. But as a child, this is when it affected my life as the most. And I thank my parents immensely for helping me through it and being fantastic parents. When I became a teenager, I was able to work through these problems easier. I was able to take care of myself a little bit more. But as I got older, I was unfortunately going through something that was worse than these other things I was diagnosed with. Depression. It's something that I know people in this room have had to deal with, and many people my age in particular have to deal with. But for me, I experienced it worse than a lot of the other people did. Is anybody here a fan of the TV show The Office? If you've watched it, you would know the phrase, it's not just a fancy word for feeling bummed out. It's an actual disease that in some cases can be terminal, which can and has damaged families and relationships of people that I personally love. I was fortunately one of these cases. I was told it was never going to go away and that I was going to have to deal with this for the rest of my life. And there is nothing that I could do about it. It was very particularly bad for me that nobody was able to help me mitigate these disease. Because of this disease, it made my teenage life a very difficult time for me. And once again, I highly thank my parents for helping me through it. During this time of my life, like I said, I did struggle with my faith. I didn't know if I was doing the right thing. Now again, I believe that being culturally a Jew was important, but I didn't know whether I was believing in the right God, believing in the right scripture, doing the right things, or celebrating the right holidays. So one day, I cried out to God. I remember I was lying in bed about to go to sleep, and I was saying the Shema like I did every night. I cried out and I said, God, please give me a sign. I need some sort of direction. I can't figure this out on my own. Whatever your will is your will. Just tell me what I'm supposed to be doing, and I'll do it. Just give me some sort of sign. I learned the next day that when you ask God for a sign, he will absolutely give you one. A video popped up on my YouTube. It was a Christian minister on a political YouTube channel. At that time, I was very into politics, and I did watch a lot of political YouTube channels. But this particular video was a minister talking about miracles. And I always thought that the miracles in the Brit Chadashah, the New Testament, were just stories that were outdated. They were old. But he talked about how some of the people he ministered to have gotten healed through the name of Jesus. And I found this fascinating. I didn't know the name Yeshua at that time. I just knew Jesus because I always was told that a Jew doesn't believe in Jesus. I don't know how I was able to watch this, but I did. And I watched the entire thing. I was fascinated. I started to do more research on this guy who was named Jesus. And I came across of other short films on the life, the birth, the death, and the resurrection of this guy from the beginning of time named Jesus. And like I said, I watched the whole thing. And my eyes were open to how this could all happen. And at the end of that film, there was a message that popped on the screen, which said, if you accept Jesus in your heart, trust in him, and ask for forgiveness for all the sins that you committed, and trust that he died for you and for your sins, pray this prayer. And then it gave a prayer to say. And I said that prayer. And that day, I made the decision as a conservative Jew that I was going to follow Jesus because I felt that this was God answering the prayer that I had that one night. And I prayed this prayer and I went to bed. And the next morning, I woke up and the depression that I was told could never be cured, something that nobody had ever been able to help me mitigate, was miraculously gone. If you understand what it's like to have this unfortunate disease, it's not just feeling bummed out. It's a legitimate feeling you have every second of the day. You never feel up to doing anything. You're always lonely. But on that day, it went away. I knew right then and there that this was the truth. This was what I was called to do. Leave Judaism and convert to Christianity, as it said on that video. I know. Now, I had no knowledge of Messianic Judaism at that time, but I was always told that a Jew couldn't believe in Jesus. It just wasn't a part of the religion. So I thought what I had to do was leave Judaism altogether and convert to Christianity, go to a Christian church, put everything away. But Hashem had other plans. I found a playlist on YouTube. Maybe you've seen it. It's called I Found Shalom. It was a playlist of different Jewish people who believed that Jesus, Yeshua, was the Messiah. Only they had a different name for him, Yeshua. A lot of these people were talking about how one doesn't even have to leave Judaism to believe in Jesus. Once a Jew, always a Jew. Because of that, we are all obligated to continue to follow the law of Moshe. If Yeshua and his apostles did, why can't we? That's why I decided to give Messianic Judaism a chance. I went on the internet, like many of you did, and looked up the nearest Messianic synagogue in the area. And the first one that came up, of course, was called Mashiach. And I don't remember if it was September or October in 2023. On Rosh Hashanah, I came here for the first time. And now, keep in mind, I was very worried about this. I was always told that Messianic Judaism was a cult, and that it was a cosplay organization trying to take Jews out of Judaism. But I found out it was the exact opposite. I walked in here, and they were saying the exact same prayers that I used to say as a child. Like the Parsha today teaches, a Jew is commanded by Hashem to follow Torah and mitzvahs. Essentially, I couldn't walk into a church and keep the laws regarding, for example, Shabbos. Not saying if you do go to a church, that's not what Hashem wants, because there's a place for everyone. But as Jewish people, regardless of our beliefs in Mashiach, we are still required to follow the law of Moshe. So this place made it a place where I could be open about my beliefs and at the same time be comfortable as a Jewish person along with other people who are doing the same. If Yeshua, like I said, if Yeshua and his apostles did, why can't we? Hashem feels very strongly about Jewish people maintaining Torah and mitzvahs like we've been doing for over 5,000 years, and we see that throughout the whole Parsha this week. But that's what we believe here at Kol Mashiach, that as Jewish people, we follow his written law and his oral tradition, his oral law. But also, most importantly, we believe that Yeshua is the Messiah. And that's what made me extremely comfortable being here. It's absolutely amazing. I joined here not even 2 years ago. And already Hashem has blessed me with the ability to worship here as a believer in Yeshua, wearing the tallis that my great-grandfather once wore, have my bar mitzvah here, and very soon, like Jen said earlier, go through the process of being one of, if not the youngest ever, Messianic rabbi under UMJC ordination credentials. This all happened from one thing, a prayer. Hashem, are you there? Whatever your will is, I will do. Hashem loves every single person that he created. He loves everyone in this room, regardless of your beliefs. He wants to have a relationship with you. I don't believe in Yeshua just because it's the cool thing to do, because I assure you, in the world of Judaism, it's absolutely not. I believe in it because if I told you he wasn't the Messiah, because it's not a belief by most Jews, I would be lying to you. I know we have people in this room who are Jewish and do not believe that Yeshua is the Messiah. My message to you is this: do your studying, pray on it. I can assure you from personal experience, there is healing in the name of Yeshua. I know we also have people in this room who are atheists. We have people here who are agnostic. To you, my message is this: God loves you and he wants a relationship with you. He doesn't care who you are. He doesn't care what your background is. He loves you the way a painter loves his pieces or a musician loves his songs. A song is never going to be perfect, but the musician wants to do everything that they can to make the song as beautiful as possible. With us, it's a little different. We have to give him our consent. We have to give Hashem consent. As young people, like Rabbi said last weekend, as young people in 2025, many of us are struggling to find our identity. And I assure you, there is healing, not just physically, but also mentally and spiritually in Hashem. And before I go, and before everyone starts pelting me with Jolly Ranchers, there's one last verse I want you to take with you. From Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Hashem demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Mashiach died for us. Essentially, his love for us exists not just in our most righteous moments, but during the times when we stray from his word. Shabbat Shalom.